At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
I'm Donna.
And I'm Carrie.
And we are Paranormal Chicks.
Sinister Sightings 310. Okay, the first one. Sinister Sightings. Psychotic gas station experience and special dream hugs. Holla! Do the kids even say that nowadays? I heard you needed stories. I'm not going to apologize for the length, but feel free to shorten anything you feel necessary. My name can be used, Tara Rose. I don't want to do too much gushing over your amazingness, but hey, it's 2025 and I'm all about for raising up bitches and praising us for being badass girlies, and you gals are given the queen vibes. May I just say how exciting and honored to get to know both of you and the extensions of the pod. Who knew that when I grew up, my emo soul would be matched with two wonderful ladies? I think we are all one big strange family. Since I hopelessly wish I had your accents as they make my heart flutter, especially since I come from a place where we say water instead of water. My first story is more fun, I guess, and the second jumps into a dream sequence and a story that I feel is important to share. I know people out there will definitely relate. Please keep your bright light shining in whatever direction you find yourself choosing to go in this wild ride of life. Okay, story number one. It's about someone not having the Christmas spirit. Well, more than that, to put it bluntly, a scary, upsetting human being I came in contact with. In 2016, the day after Christmas, I was scheduled to work, normally leaving my house around 7 a.m. I had to stop to get gas at the convenience store / gas station that's very popular and very busy in the area close to my house. As many people usually take off the day after Christmas, I assumed it would be a fairly easygoing day and entered it with a big smile and happy demeanor. This gas station area has arrangement of the two pumps next to each other, about 8 feet apart, with the trash can and such in the middle. There are nozzles / pumping allowed on either side, and to my surprise, it was actually quite busy that morning. No worries, I thought, as I pulled in to pump at the end with the front of my car pointing away from the store and the back of my car facing the pump in the same line. I debated going in to get coffee and decided I would not need coffee that morning. At least not yet. I could wait to have the shit coffee at the office. Because, you know, free stuff, and I'm a broke bitch. Yes, $3 on coffee may break my bank the day after Christmas. I got out of my car, went to the pump, swiped my card as per normal, listened to the terribly annoying music blaring from the speakers in the pumping area. It was negative 18 degrees that day, so the only thing I was not happy about was becoming an icicle. I decided I was not going to completely fill my tank so I could get out of the cold faster. As I'm leaning on my car for about 30 seconds, out of what seemed like nowhere, my blind spot, a guy comes barreling into the pumping spot to the side of me, back of my car, pulling in and then backing up to get his car closer to the pump, back of his car facing the back of my car. I thought, damn, someone must be in a rush or having a bad morning. I guess Santa didn't bring him joy over the holidays. He throws his car into park and, without turning the vehicle off, gets out of the car and rushes in more than a walk, not quite a jog, at me, stopping, putting his hands up in the air, and starts to say something to me. I had my hand on the gas nozzle, so I clicked it into the autofill mechanism, the stopper on the trigger, and I say, "Excuse me, what did you just say to me?" I had that feeling that rattles you from your core, the pit of your stomach, climbs up into your head and back down to the rest of your body of pure heat and adrenaline in one blink of an eye came over me. Fuck. Before I go further, let me paint you a picture of what I look like. I'm 5'4", young woman, weighing 170 pounds, pasty white, or as I like to say, pearlescent skin, yay to being Eastern European and having see-through skin, with short purple hair, nose ring, plaid work pants on with my fake Uggs from Walmart, and one of those puffy long jackets that comes below your knees. Now, this guy wore a buzz cut, male, dark eyes and hair, definitely not pearlescent, but white, light skin toned glasses, about 6 feet tall, but lanky, probably 180 to 220 pounds. Hard to tell as he was wearing baggy clothes. An unzipped hoodie-type sweatshirt adorned his torso that was way too big for him. Probably about my age or just a smidge older. He paces back and forth towards me and away from me, mumbling to himself, and then starts yelling at the top of his lungs that I stole his pump and that I'm stealing his money he put into the pump and he's going to call the cops on me. Now, at the time, I'm 27 years old, and my first reaction was, what the hell are you talking about? You don't own a gas pump. This is my money. I used my card. Fuck you. In the few seconds it took for me to yell at him, I quickly skimmed his pockets with my ice cubes that replaced my eyes the best I could to be sure he was not going to pull out a weapon. He proceeds to accost me by cursing, telling me I'm a cunt and that I should be put in jail and stealing is a crime. He called me multiple other curse words. I actually screamed at him, I hope you do call the cops. Call the cops. I'm waiting. And anytime I stepped towards him in my whirlwind of what could be considered the most uninhibited sailor's mouth I've ever had, he would get louder and finally started screaming, I'm going to the store and tell them that you stole my gas and they need to call the cops, you fucking crazy ass cunt whore. I took a deep breath. Is he having a serious breakdown? I checked to make sure in between him yelling at me and checking his pump within the 3 to 6 minutes time span that I did put the payment on my card, etc. I'm thinking to myself, how is this happening? Why is no one asking if everything's okay? How did waking up this morning in a good mood become this? I was just minding my own business over here, filling up my maroon 2001 Ford Taurus. Where in the fuck is my phone? I need to get a picture of this guy. Wait, if I need evidence of this in the future, they have cameras up at these pumps? Oh my God, what is happening? Why does this pump not want to work faster? Did I seriously choose the slowest pump on the lot? Shit, the autofill trigger came off when I wasn't looking. Just a couple more gallons. I started to look around and realized people are fucking assholes. They were walking past us, literally screaming on and off at each other, not even fazed. Then it was more irritating that he would stop and try to mess with his gas pump, yelling at it, and then back at me. I do believe my hands went up a couple of times, and I just started to sarcastically agree with him. So he runs into the store, making a scene in front of the other patrons, and was pointing at me, screaming now at the poor cashier. By the time he was done yelling and running into the store, my gas tank was filled. At that point, I decided I'm not going to be late for work or let this guy near me again. I got in the car and drove away as fast as possible. If you can imagine, I barely got the nozzle out of my car and back on the latch before jumping in and screeching away as fast as my good old Taurus can handle. I started to piece together that he must have entered the store by parking in the designated parking spots outside of the entrance to the convenience store prior to thinking I should get gas. And just decided to tell them to put money on a random gas pump that was open before he was parked there. And in the meantime, I pulled into that spot. I mean, who knows with this guy? As I was driving, I was hoping he did not took leaving the store and kept checking my rearview mirror, worried it would be one of those cases of road rage where he was going to corner me in his car. But thankfully, he didn't follow me. I was halfway to work, took some serious deep breaths, and then started thinking, what if he was off his meds? What if he was on drugs? For out, I decided I need to stop at Starbucks. Fuck, I was debating on spending $3 on coffee. Why not spend $10 at this point? Day can't get much worse. I ordered a venti caramel latte, still shaking and only about 20 minutes post dealing with Crazy Town. I was telling the barista my story as they were between customers, again early for the day after Christmas. She felt so bad and needless to say, I obtained said latte on the house. What a genuine, sparkling angel sent from the coffee gods to rewind, erase, and reboot my day. I don't ever stop at that gas station anymore unless I'm with someone. Thankfully, I don't have to since I moved. Keep it so weird that you don't back down to a strange man yelling at you, speed off in your car as if Freddy or Jason may be chasing you in a sports car to be met by a kind and loving angelic soul at a Starbucks who shimmers positivity with lattes and goodness.
Okay, and so Carrie didn't know this, but I trimmed the second one to the next episode.
Okay. Yeah, because I was like, wait, it was two stories.
Yeah.
So the second story will be next week.
Yep.
Gotcha.
Also, can we just say that Carrie says angelic really weird.
As soon as it came out, I was like, wow, that was really weird. And I was like, just go with it. You're actually not stuttering for once.
I was like.
Angelic.
Yeah.
What did I say?
I don't know.
Yeah, like, it was weird.
It was a long like vowel or something.
Yeah, it was bizarre.
I was like, the devil can't say angelic. Okay.
Hey.
But speaking of the devil, what the fuck with this guy? And if he did do what you're saying, like he parked and then said, put it on like a pump. Yeah. No. That's not how you do it. You go to the pump, then yes. you say, put it on this. Like,
I mean, I think he had some mental illness. I mean, don't we all? But I really think he.
Yeah.
Yes.
But that makes me mad that no one stepped in, too. Like, just to be like, hey, something's going out there, like going on out there to the worker or something.
I wonder what he did after you left.
I don't know. What's your Starbucks order? Did she say?
Caramel latte.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, but I think he may be schizophrenic or something and having an episode or, I don't know. What do I know? I'm not a fucking psychiatrist.
Which is really sad, but it's so scary in that moment with someone coming at you.
Yeah.
No, I was going to say you had a Ford Taurus, but you had a Tempo.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm glad that you got out of there. Glad you got some free coffee because that makes everything better. And we really can't wait to read your next story on the next episode.
Well, before we get into the next story, we have to talk about Cure Hydration. Y'all, we're recording. It's on a Sunday, and I had to go into work this morning for a couple hours, and I was dragging. But you know what I did?
Coffee?
A Cure Hydration. I mean, of course, coffee too, but a Cure Hydration.
And you needed it with said coffee too.
Absolutely. Because sometimes when you're feeling tired, it could be because you're dehydrated. You know, the age old, am I tired because I need to drink more water? Yes. So you need a Cure Hydration pack.
Exactly. Because it is drinking more water. But with Cure Hydration, you get those electrolytes.
Cure has changed the game. It's little packets of plant-based magic mix you mix with water and boom, instant hydration that actually works. But there's no added sugars, no weird ingredients, just clean, doctor-approved goodness.
And it really does taste good, like actually taste good. Not the fake, like this is healthy kind of taste. And my favorite is watermelon.
It's not too salty, too.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes on the hydration packets, they're so salty that it's like, damn, I feel more thirsty now than I did after I drank it. You know, it's just like light and flavorful. So my favorites are the tropical punch. But this morning I had the strawberry kiwi, which is really good. While water is great, sometimes it's not enough on its own.
Exactly. Cure uses the same science-backed formula developed by the WHO, which is World Health Organization, and it's called an oral rehydration solution. That sounds really fancy, right?
But basically, it hydrates you as effectively as an IV drip. But how you said, did it put the lime in the coconut? It really is made with coconut water powder and pink Himalayan salt, but it ain't so salty. Like, it's just good.
Yeah, it's just got that nice pinch of salt to it.
And at only 25 calories per serving with, like I said before, no added sugar, no artificial junk, just clean hydration. It's safe for kids. So if you got little ones, it's perfect as the seasons are changing and we're getting into baseball and softball and all these like outdoor activities. It's perfect for them.
So here's the good part. Y'all get 20% off your first order. Just head to curehydration.com/creep. And then use code CREEP at checkout.
That's curehydration.com/creep. And don't forget to use the code CREEP for 20% off.
Do yourself a favor. Grab the watermelon flavor and thank me later.
They do have a variety pack. If you're like, ooh, sounds all too good. I can't choose. So seriously, stay hydrated, friends. Your body will love you for it.
Okay, the next one. A little hometown true crime. Hey, ladies. It's been a few months. Sorry, Carrie, since I last sent in an email. In all honesty, even though I know I have plenty of true crime and paranormal stories, I just couldn't think of any until today. I came across a post I shared in 2018 about a classmate of mine, and it all came flooding back. A little disclaimer is that I couldn't find a lot of info on this case, so I'll just tell you what I remember. Back in 2014, a man by the name of Cannabis Cole from a neighboring town came into a small local club with the purpose of killing another man. Now, I tried to find the exact reason. However, I remember the rumor was it was all about drug money. Unfortunately, a guy I graduated with Demetrius Hines was one of the people too close to the original target, and he was shot and killed. It was rumored that at the club, Demetrius spotted Cole with a gun and attempted to shield and move his girlfriend to the ground as the gunshots went off. However, he was shot in the process. His girlfriend was not injured, and honestly, he probably saved her. Four others were injured, with the intended victim shot in the leg, and Cole fled the scene. Demetrius was only 20 years old. Now for the part that'll probably make you as angry as it did me. I say what happened that night was rumored because, unfortunately, out of the 100 plus people in the club that night, no one would testify against Cole. Cole admitted to firing his weapon in self-defense and never intended to harm Demetrius. He pled guilty to criminally negligent homicide and was also convicted of attempted murder of the other living victim in 2018. He was ordered to 1 year in jail with time served 4 years. So he spent 5 years total in jail. He was released in 2019. That's all I have for now. I'll try to remember to send stories in more frequently so Carrie's booty hole may unpucker. Much love, J-Bob.
Why would nobody testify?
And he got 5 years. So it's like, if you testified against him and he only got that, like, in 5 years, he'd be coming out.
Yeah, you're so right. I can't judge.
Well, and it's hard because justice wasn't served then. Mm-hmm. But it's also, I don't know, it's just, ugh.
This is just an awful situation all around.
It really is.
And tons of people were in danger, like, because of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's right, Enya.
Yeah.
Okay, the next one. Sinister sighting story. Hello, beautiful ladies and spooky friends. My name is Mimi. You can use my name. I'm from Virginia, even though I have lived in Alabama for the last 8 years. My story is probably a little long and made of a couple of little stories, so you might need to edit if I blather on too long. I'm a good talker, and I think it bleeds onto the page sometimes. When I was in college, I studied criminology and, in particular, took a lot of psychology classes. During my senior year, I was asked to write a research paper for my biological changes in biology and its effect on behavior, since I was interested in involving criminal behavior. I discovered temporal lobe seizures were violent and were probably what those labeled as possessed probably had. Temporal lobe seizures make people scream and run around and make the person strong. I was delighted to do more research on the topic. I didn't know much about epilepsy, except my family dog at the time had seizures if she didn't have meds, but they were regular old floppy seizures. Nothing too scary. RIP, Singer. After I wrote my paper, I was still interested in the topic, but it was only in the back of my mind. I didn't think it was going to become a part of my life. I graduated in May of 2005, and the following November, I had yet to get a dream job. I was working retail and still living at home. I'd been working in this particular store for approximately 2.5 years and was opening and closing the store in what I call a quasi-management position. I didn't get paid anything more than my low hourly wage, but I got the responsibility. I was home on this particular Sunday night, 2 nights before my 23rd birthday, watching an SNL special. All I remember is my dad walking around the room, taking the trash downstairs for Monday morning pickup, and then I woke up to four huge guys holding me down because, by the way, I'm 6'2", ladies. Those big old guys had their work cut out. I had no idea what had gone on. I was scared, confused, and couldn't speak at all. I saw my mom crying. I've never seen my dad look so sad. I was taken down the steep stairs on a gurney to the yard, then over to the ambulance. I still couldn't speak. It's like my voice was drained like the Little Mermaid, maybe Extra Large Mermaid. On the quick 10-minute ride to the hospital, I had fallen asleep. I had a CT and an MRI. After a lot of poking and examining me, they eventually told my parents and me the news. I had a hemorrhagic stroke, which caused temporal lobe seizures. Absolutely insane. I was horrified and scared and apparently still focused on work. I asked for my phone to call my friend. I needed to tell them it would probably be a couple of days before I came into work. Now, I think it's hilarious, but at the time, it was my life. They were the first ones to send me flowers and a get well soon card. I actually loved that job, and it was a big deal I wouldn't be opening the store, even if I had a stroke. A much briefer story I will add here. After you have a seizure, you can't drive for 6 months in most states. It was very difficult to find medication that worked for me. I remember I'd only been driving again for a little while, and I was just celebrating my freedom by visiting TJ Maxx. I was in the store and was enjoying myself, but I started feeling very strange. I get tingly and a certain smell, called an aura, before having a seizure. Sometimes I feel a little nauseous. I headed to the car to just sit for a minute, but apparently I didn't make it. I woke up after some really bad seizures, apparently, in the hospital. I assume a good Samaritan called 911, but they didn't stick around to tell anyone their name. I really appreciate it, though. So do my family and friends. I hope these stories are worth the time. I also really hope that people aren't afraid when someone has a seizure. Just make sure they're safe. There is emergency medicine to stop seizures now, too. I had brain surgery, I'm in grad school for criminal justice, and I've been doing really well. Thank you so much for being understanding, having a great sense of humor, and cracking me up when I'm just so freaking stressed out. P.S. I hope you edited as necessary. I know I probably gave more information than you ever wanted. Plus, when I read, I seem to self-edit, and it doesn't actually make sense to anyone else. Blame it on my broke brain. Please take care, Mimi B.
Okay, I'm gonna be honest. TJ Maxx or Home Goods would have been my first stop too. Like, freedom. Let me go.
Yes.
And I'm gonna go there.
Also, the extra large mermaid was funny.
Oh my gosh. But how weird that you studied this and all, and then you ended up having it.
Do you have a medical bracelet?
Oh shit.
Because you need one if you don't.
But what do you do?
All I know is turn them on their side.
Yeah.
That's all I know.
Me too. Is it something like you put a spoon in their mouth?
I wouldn't. I think that's like an old school, so they wouldn't like, quote, swallow their tongue.
Yeah.
But they're going to bite the spoon and you're going to break their fucking teeth. I wouldn't do that. Before we get into the next story, we have to talk about Hunger Root. I struggle with food.
Tell me something I don't know.
Carrie, in the definition in the Webster's Dictionary, is struggles with food. But for real, though, I want to eat healthier, and I just really try. But it is so hard to go to the grocery store, shop, plan, and I'm just tired, and I have just snacks and girl dinner.
Oh, 1,000%. I look in my fridge, and I've got a mixture of things, but I'm like, what do I really want? And then I go and get something fast food related.
Yes. Like today, literally, I was like, oh, I've got that leftover I could eat for lunch. And I got that, but, oh, you know?
Yes.
It's like not a meal. But that's where Hungry Root comes to the rescue. It's a game changer. It's like having your own personal shopper and nutritionist all in one. They do the grocery shop and help you plan meals based on what you like, your dietary goals, and even what you didn't love last time.
Because it actually learns what you like. So the first week I tried it, I told them I was looking for high protein, low effort meals. And every week since, it's gotten better because they like me and they want to know more about me. And they've filled my cart with stuff that I wouldn't have thought to try, but I actually loved.
The meals are so easy too. 15 minutes or less, which is my kind of cooking. They have like lemon pepper salmon with pre-chopped veggies. That is a game changer in itself when it comes to meals that you get delivered to your house.
Yeah, and I love that it makes me look like I know what I'm doing in the kitchen, but I don't. I'm also really a fan that they have smoothies, ready-to-eat meals, and snacks.
Sweets, too.
Uh-huh. And everything is high quality. No weird preservatives that I can't pronounce. No high fructose corn syrup, even though it does taste good, but we don't need it.
And their meats and seafood have no hormones or antibiotics. Their salad kits are really good, too. So it's not just meals. Like, you can even get stuff for your kids. They have supplements, treats. Look, just stock your kitchen. So if you're like us and you want something easy, healthy, and actually enjoyable, Hungry Root is where it's at.
You're going to love Hungry Root. Take advantage of this exclusive offer because for a limited time, you get 40% off your first box, plus get a free item in every box for life.
Go to hungerroot.com/creep and use the promo code CREEP.
That's hungryroot.com/creep, code creep, to get 40% off your first box and a free item of your choice for life.
That's hungryroot, HungryRoot.com/creep, and use the promo code creep. You'll thank us later, especially when you realize dinner is served.
Okay, the next one, it's called Footprints. Hi, Donna and Carrie. I've been enjoying your podcast for a few years now, and I figured it was time to send in a story, especially after hearing that y'all were worried about running out a ways back. This is a story from when I was living in Virginia. At the time, I think I was between 10 to 13 years old, and I'm 26 now. I can't remember the exact age. I've hit my head once too many times, and now my memory sucks. I lived in a townhome with my family, and I had the privilege of getting the basement room while everyone else slept on the top floor, meaning that the main floor with the kitchen and living room were in between. My parents were always a little paranoid about me being so far away, so they gave me a cheap battery-powered intercom to be able to talk to them from the basement if I needed to, as I didn't have a phone back then. The layout of the basement was set up so that my room was at the front of the house and the back door was visible from my bedroom door. The back door had a window in it with the blinds built inside the glass panes, if that makes sense. The bathroom door was right beside my bedroom door. Think of it as an L shape. My whole life, I've had to get up to pee in the middle of the night. This particular night was no different, and I was trying to make it quick because it was wintertime and absolutely freezing in the basement. As I left the bathroom to turn into my bedroom door, my eyes were drawn to the back door. We had motion-sensored lights put up in the backyard, and one was directly over the back door outside. The motion sensor light suddenly flicked on. And at first, I didn't think anything of it because birds or even large bugs can set it off. As I let my eyes adjust, I noticed there was an outline of a shape through the closed blinds, a shadow in front of the window in the door. As I looked closer, I realized what I was looking at. Standing on the other side of the back door seemed to be a shadow silhouette of a set of shoulders and a head, leaning into the door. I thought, absolutely not, and slipped quietly into my room and tried to ping my parents with the intercom. It was like 4 a.m. and they were not responding, so I just laid there, still, silent, and sweating until I fell asleep. I woke up the next morning and the first thing I did was open the back door. We had gotten a few inches of snow a couple of days before, so there was an even, untouched layer of snow covering the backyard. I looked down at the concrete pad in front of the back door outside, and my blood ran cold. There is a single set of footprints facing the door, like someone had floated down to make that one set of prints and then floated away. I ran upstairs to show my parents, and they were just as confused as me. What never made sense to me is that these footprints were barefoot. I have no explanation as to what this was. There were other things happening at this point while I was living in the house, like sleep paralysis, creepy lurkers around the neighborhood, and generally just not having a good time. Maybe I'll never know what it is. What do y'all think? Thanks, Lauren from Idaho. Well, talk about footprints in the sand.
For real.
But like, okay, like it couldn't be an actual person.
Unless they like parkoured themselves over everything.
Parkour.
Like, how would they have just, I don't know.
I have no idea. I don't know what that was, but bad. Bad, bad, bad.
For real.
Also, what did your parents have the intercom on? Do not disturb.
Who are they, me? Did you ring twice? Because then it has to go through.
That's scary as fuck, though. But also, how cool of you to have the basement, like, all to yourself.
I have always wanted a house with an intercom system.
Me too. Me too.
Like, that is peak 90s rich.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. You know, because the Brady Bunch had it and stuff, and it was like, oh my gosh.
But I also remember it being on shows like, what was it on? It was on Home Improvement. Remember he installed one? And look, we just watched that. That's why it's on my brain. But it was like on every show. Mm-hmm. You're like, it come down for dinner.
I know. I feel like Zach Morris had one too, but I could be wrong.
He just had the phone, if I remember correctly. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
The long phone.
What? The long phone.
The long phone. He had a big antenna, if you know what I mean.
We know what you mean, Donna. The next one, sleep demon. Hey, ladies. First off, wanted to say I love you both so much. My sister Paige recommended me over to you in 2020, and I have been glued since. If you read this, I may pass out. My name is Courtney from Montana, and you can use my name. Anyway, let's get weird. A little backstory. In 2022, I went through a really messy breakup with a long-term boyfriend and started partying a lot. Going out to bars with girlfriends every weekend on top of working at a winery. Let's just say I had a lot of fun and I'm glad it ended when it did. I decided to move to Montana with just my dog and I, so I had 4 months to figure out a job, sell my things, and book a one-way ticket to a state I had never been to. Best decision I've ever made. With the last few months in my home state left, I decided to download Hinge to see what kind of guys were out in these parts. I started talking to this guy and we hit it off. He's now my boyfriend of almost 2 years and he's literally my best friend. One night I went to bed and had a dream about this said guy. He told me he needed to use the bathroom and walked away. Within seconds of him leaving me alone, these three girls walked up to me and started being so, so mean. Telling me I was ugly, saying that he doesn't like me, they have no idea what he sees in me, yada, yada, yada. Well, they only did two yadas, but you know. Then I was transported to a swing in the back of the house. Picture it. It was beautiful pink and purple sunset, and the mountains had fresh snow. The mountains almost looked fake. There were trees all over, and it was pure bliss. I was on one swing, and there was a girl on the other swing. We swung so, so high in the air that I could see every single mountaintop. On our second or so time up, I looked over at her because she said something, and then I looked behind me and saw a shadow figure with a top hat and a cloak at the bottom of the swing. But he was just a void, pure darkness. I hit the top of the swing and started screaming and crying because I knew once I got down to the bottom, he would take me. Halfway down, I woke up and looked at my phone. But after I looked at my phone, I said, wait, this has happened before. Then I woke up again and said the same thing. I was still dreaming, but thought I was awake, and I don't know how many times I, quote, woke up and realized I was in a dream. The next thing I know, I'm in sleep paralysis. I'm laying on my stomach, and my bedroom is at the bottom of the stairs. I hear someone or something slowly descending the stairs. Boom, boom, boom. I try to scream for my roommates, but my mouth isn't opening. I feel myself trying to scream, but I can't get the words out. I felt as if there was tape on my lips, trapping them shut. I felt darkness, evil. I knew this thing was after me, and it wasn't good. Once this thing hit the bottom stair, I felt it standing outside of my door. I woke up. When I awoke, my bedroom door was shut, but my closet door, 3 feet from my side of my bed, was wide open. I have chills writing this. I didn't sleep the rest of the night, because I was so scared that if I managed to fall asleep again, that I would relive that dream all over again. The next morning, I reached out to my friend who is Wiccan and her mom is a very, very powerful medium / healer. I told her everything I told you, and she told me that these were energy vampires and believed that the three mean girls in the dream were a part of it as well as the man at the bottom of the swing. They ignite fear in you and feed off of your fear. And due to me being in a horrible place mentally, they targeted me. That was the one and only time I've had sleep paralysis, and let me tell you, that was one of the scariest moments of my life. I've had lots of other scary dreams with a huge black bull chasing me.
We?
I
let him catch me.
Safety, sister. Getting haunted by your podcast, being a haunted little girl, having five ghosts attached to me, and so much more. Let me know if you want to hear them. If this doesn't make it on the pod, thank you so much for reading it. Stay badass, ladies. XOXO, Courtney S. from Montana. The cackle I cackled at the big black bull chasing me, sis, that's not always a bad thing.
Let them catch you sometimes. And take you from behind.
Just throw you up against that wall and have their way with you.
Oh my gosh. Also, thank you. Shout out to your sister and hope you're sitting down because you said you might pass out.
Yeah, don't pass out. You need some hydration packets.
You're just so lucky that you found your love on Hinge. For me, it was cringe. I deleted it.
cut to them ever like wanting to sponsor our podcast, and Donna calls it cringe.
You know what?
I do truly, though, believe that in like our area, like we're just not big enough.
No, like I will say that I like it better than like Tinder and stuff, just because you can't do
backpedaling.
You can do voice memos and like the prompts and stuff. I do like that, but it's just the people on, like, it's just easier to match on Tinder because more people have Tinder in this population. What? Yeah. In this place. Also, I will say, you know what? If they wanted to sponsor us, I'd be like, well, one, I need a lifetime supply of Hinge X because you only get like 10 likes a day.
Yeah. I cannot stop looking at the pimple patch on your lip right now. I'm like, is that, did a big black bull chase you and on your lip? Or, because it's like clear slash kind of white. So I'm like, what is this?
Because it's
clear
like
white liquid on your lip.
It's getting all the stuff. They don't know this because that was in the last thing that we recorded. But yeah, I have a lip pimple. And so I have one of those patches on, but it's like at my Cupid's bow. It's very freaking awkward.
But you know that that's not actually the stuff coming out.
Oh, is
it not?
The white stuff?
No, it's just like the chemical reaction.
Oh, okay. Well, that's what I mean. Like, yeah.
Courtney really set us up with that bull comment.
She really did. We took it in.
Thank you for that.
Yeah.
I mean, I did message with a few of those on Tinder in my day.
You did. But also something else that Carrie will fuck with, a swing in the backyard.
God damn it. I love a swing. Look, I mean, I used to spend many an hour in our backyard on the swing talking on the phone when I had one.
Yeah. And then you said it was like beautiful pink and purple sunset. The mountains had snow on them. I was like, I want to be in that dream. Not with Carrie on the swing, because again, I can't put my feet down because I don't swing fast enough for her.
No, get your feet up. You're blocking my bull.
Okay, the last one, and it's an Ambien story.
Yes.
Hello, ladies. I'm Jen from Georgia. You have been in my ear since 2020 and have made me smile during some rough times. So thank you for being you. But on to the story. In the late 2000s, I was prescribed Ambien for chronic insomnia. At the time, I was in my late 20s, and this seemed like a miracle drug. At the time, I had two young kids and worked as a full-time high school teacher. I was stressed. Well, the Ambien worked, but let's just say I could have been the poster child for possible Ambien side effects. My husband told me I would talk in my sleep, kick him, and tell him that he was not supposed to be in my bed. And occasionally, he would wake up to find me asleep on the floor in our living room. But the day I decided to seek Ambien alternatives was the most memorable. I had taken my usual dose the night before. However, the stars aligned in a strange way that night. My husband is a paramedic and was on shift, so on that night, I was sleeping alone. I woke up around 3 a.m. feeling that something was amiss. I noticed the covers were all piled up on me and I felt something strange and kind of squishy touching my foot. I threw the covers aside and scooted out of the bed to discover an entire loaf of bread at my feet. Not only was that weird, it got even crazier. I had apparently taken every single piece out of the bag and stacked it up in twos at the foot of my bed. Like, I was planning to make sandwiches for the neighborhood. The squish I felt was my foot resting on a bread stack. After cleaning up the mess, I was wide awake, so I went into the kitchen to make some coffee. When I turned on the light, I discovered the pantry door was open and about a dozen cans of vegetables lined up on the floor. What in the actual fuck? Was my Ambien addled brain planning on making green pea sandwiches for a snack? Needless to say, I moved on to the other sleep remedies until eventually discovering CBD, which has been a lifesaver and has never once led to a wasted loaf of bread and a train of canned goods on my kitchen floor. Thanks for the chance to tell my goofy Ambien shenanigans, Jen.
Not the loaf of bread wasted.
Not by twos. That is so something you would do.
Without a doubt.
Yeah. Oh my God. The jump, I would have jumped out of that bed feeling a squish.
Yeah, that would have, yes, gross.
But also, why was all the cover piled up on you?
I don't know.
I love that. Also, it's so weird that you said you've been listening since 2020.
The last one, yes. Mm-hmm. That must be when everybody was, well, stuck at home.
It was. They're like, well, I guess these people are funny because yeah. They're all I have.
It was a dark time. Well, these stories were great. I freaking love the Ambien stories.
Me too.
Keep them coming. If you want your story read on an episode, send it in to us at aparanormalchicks@gmail.com. And remember,
creep it real and don't get scared.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.